Hi, this is the Notorious MFT. This episode is sponsored by Premier Family Counseling, a multidisciplinary and holistic approach to your mental health needs. I'm your host, Will Sanchez, licensed marriage and family therapist, somatic experiencing practitioner, supervisor, mentor. Welcome to the show, and thanks for pushing play. Hi, welcome back. This is the Notorious MFT, the episode 14, I believe. Yes, thank you for checking in. Today's topic, dysfunction in families and its impact on mental health. Just to be clear, I'm not looking to cover every single aspect of dysfunction. there are a plenty. I just want to share a little bit of kind of what I've been able to experience and what I've been able to support some families with. And I think just some themes I've actually noticed. And of course, there are some pretty heavy dysfunctional behaviors or dysfunctions in families, you know, like, neglect or abuse, any sort of ongoing mental health or addiction issue in the family system that might create dysfunction. Some of the things that I wanted to share today were like a few examples and a few things to look out for. And then, of course, the theme that I get to work with the most when I do get to do my, family therapy, family support, family coaching, parent training, what have you, the umbrella that holds all of those things, in my opinion, is systems, family systems work. If you're looking to make an impact in family work, or if you're looking to address family issues or family struggles or challenges, you want to head in the direction of systems work. And that's kind of where the undertow of this conversation is going to head. One thing that I did want to share was I do have homework. I do have family therapy homework. So anybody that works with me or gets to work with me, I might drop a few packets on you for a little bit of insight, and when we look at like the parallel process, we look at triangles, we look at boundaries, we look at, emotional fusion, which to me are a bit of like the heavy hitters in like the initial stages of getting the ball rolling on, discovering what the dysfunction is, one, and then two, discovering how that dysfunction impacts the system and then therefore has a hand in, mental health or mental health issues. So I think it's an important topic. I think it goes in line, of course, with our season of family work. Don't be alarmed. There is a section some area to discuss boundaries here, but next season is all boundaries all the time. So don't sweat it. Those of you looking for, the self-improvement and the self-help, I'll tell you right now, it all starts with boundaries. Personal, emotional, physical, mental, financial, spiritual, cultural, family, relational, whatever, it's there. But enough about that. Right now you're boundless until you get to the next season. So enjoy. But for certain, one of the things that I wanted to really start off with, and I wanted to share this example with you guys that I also share with my families, and I'll put it in the episode description. It's a tiny exercise I do with my families. You go, I ask everyone to just sit comfortably, and they're either sitting across from me on the Zoom or in the therapy room or in like the conference room or wherever. And I ask them to just casually and very normally cross their arms in front of them. You cross your arms, and you can do it too as you're listening. If you're driving, don't do it. Drive. You know, cross your arms in front of you as if you're kind of waiting in line and it's kind of taking forever to pick up your favorite order of whatever. You know, you're just waiting in line and you cross your arms. And then I ask them to just sit with it for a second so you could sit with it too. And then I'll ask you to consider alternating the arms positioning. So if one arm is laying across another and one arm is underneath the other, I ask you to do the opposite. And 9 times out of 10, I watch very grown, very capable, very attuned humans struggle. And not only do I see the struggle happen, we all get a good laugh, but part of what comes out of that is how much thought is put into unwrapping yourself and then rewrapping yourself. Then you might think you did it as the directions were given, but then you think twice and you're like, wait a minute, I'm back to the same position. So it's a funny story, or it's a funny thing to experience, to watch. And that's sort of my very brief experiential example on the steady nuances of dysfunction and the steady nuances of behavior in family systems and family relationships that become so comfortable and customary that we don't think twice about it. And a few episodes earlier, I shared about that, how, like, you know, you wake up and your eye color is your eye color and you don't doubt it, you don't question it, and it's just there. And then, you know, along comes a therapist and says, actually, your eye color is this. And you're like, oh, your mind is blown because you're like, well, this whole time I thought this was it. So in that sense, sometimes I process that with people that I work with and I ask them, like, tell me about that. Like, well, I have this urge to go back to the way I usually do it. And there it is. That is the essence of dysfunction, is that there's this new way of trying something and it's so uncomfortable, it's so foreign, it's so different that I either doubt it or I'm just uncomfortable with it. I don't understand it. So I go back to the old ways. Now, one thing to take into consideration with going back to the old ways, quote unquote, is this particular dynamic that I want to share with you. We call it, you know, therapy people, or at least myself, I consider myself a therapy person. I'm a big time nerd. I will nerd out on family systems anytime, anywhere. So please feel free to reach out and I'm happy to talk your ear off. We call it emotional fusion. And emotional fusion is typically an emotional experience. And what it does is it creates a particular fixation on a relationship. And at times, the most prevalent emotion is an anxiety or anxious or nervous or concerned based emotion. And why I say it's a particular dysfunctional pattern is that it does create a situation wherein a parent A is emotionally reliant on child A. And you may have child A, B, and C, but for some reason, through the magic of therapy and through the magic of dynamics and unhealthy dynamics, parent A and child A seem to be the ones that share the most energy in terms of this fusion. And unfortunately, the fusion gets created because parent A and parent B aren't necessarily on the same page, either emotionally or mentally. And there may be a riff in that parent dynamic, in that parent subsystem. And that riff, unfortunately, from what I've been able to see, lends itself to, you know, the parent A feeling the need to lean on child A, where possibly parent B is at a distance. And they may be at a distance intentionally, like they may want nothing to do with this, or they may be at a distance unintentionally. You know, I see the spectrum of it, you know, a uninvolved, disinterested parent B, or a very busy, you know, a very highly driven type A parent B that finds themselves a little disconnected from the family system. And therein creates a bit of that emotional fusion. With that fusion, there's a tiny little outlet that leads us to triangulation. And these are two big and hot topics in family dysfunction that relates to mental health and concerns with mental health, especially with, you know, if you happen to be child A and you have a parent A and a parent B. What I want to share with you is like the anxiety component in the family system is almost like a gift. You're gifted the anxiety as a child. So that's your gift. And as a young person through young adulthood, through adulthood, it would then be technically be your job to learn how to shape shift that anxiousness into something else. You know, sometimes that anxiousness can be a driving force and become like excitement and become persistence and you accomplish goals, or it could be an anxiety that's very damning and damaging and it's riddled with self-doubt and you're fear-based and you are having a hard time feeling motivated. Now, Will, what does that have to do with this triangle business you're saying? Well, when the emotional fusion takes place and we get to take note on how the dynamics evolve from that, what then happens is parent A and child A have a very unique connection, wherein parent A feeling so connected to child A, parent A then makes some pretty big assumptions on how child A might feel and not really check in. They may be attuned emotionally, but child A's world may be completely different from parent A's perception of their world. A little example, you know, I'm on a phone call with a family and this could be any family. A lot of my families kind of fall for this trap. And I call it a trap because it's like an emotional trap. I actually call it the parent trap. And I phrase it this way with them because I want them to acknowledge how quickly and easily a parent or caregiver falls into this place, into this emotional pull, like a magnet almost. And I'm on a call, and usually these calls are like updates and briefs on how treatment is going, on how the therapy process is going. And in tandem, it's also a way for me to coach, to unpack, and to do a little bit of therapy with the parent subsystem. So here's the example. I call and, you know, normal stuff like, hey, how are you? How's it going? Things are great. You know, hey, you know, thanks for checking in. The weather, awesome. And sometimes my parents will say, well, Will, we're, you know, I guess, it depends on how this call goes. And I sit and I think to myself, well, what do you mean it depends on how this call goes? It's like, how are you doing? Well, it depends on how child A is doing. And that is the trap. That's that dynamic. That's that dysfunction, in my opinion, that begets the enmeshment, the triangulation, buzzword, the codependency, the unhealthy interdependency, however you want to phrase it, but it starts to create this very blurry line between how parent A feels and child A feels. And that is what starts to trigger a lot of either the anxiety or the depression or the worry, or in worst cases, some of the addiction health issues when it comes to some of these unhealthy dynamics. So what does it have to do with anxiety? Well, what I get to see at times is child A is very anxious and or worrisome because parent A hovers a bit or is overly concerned through love. Of course, it's never, and from what I've experienced, it's hardly ever malicious. It's all through love and it's all through caring and compassion, but then it passes a level where it's isn't appropriate. And that's another shift in languaging for my parents to understand, for any parent to understand, this isn't about right or wrongness, but this is about appropriate or inappropriate. If you have a particular worry for a four-year-old, the hope is you would not have that same worry for a 24-year-old. So when the fusion is up, that blurs those lines and it blurs that judgment on what is appropriate to worry about and what is inappropriate to worry about. The idea here is that the 24-year-old is fitted with coping skills, strategies, and resources and resourcefulness that they can manage more on their own. But through the magic of emotional fusion, triangulation, and through the magic of my example of parent A, child A, at times, child A's coping strategies, child A's strategies to manage themselves, their emotions, their world around them, become stunted and limited because a parent A, through their process, through soothing their own internal lava via intervention, overly supporting, finding solution, flattening the road, so to speak, for child A, they then become a less, I guess, not less capable because they're definitely capable, but they become less experienced. Let's put it that way. There's less life experience. So unfortunately, I do get a few of my 20s, a few of my 30s that, you know, chronologically older adult and maturity wise, not so much. And at times, no fault of their own, but just how this dynamic has unfolded over the years. Like I said, a lot to discover with family dynamics, but I really wanted to share a bit on this, on what I've seen and what I've been able to work with people. And, you know, again, the tip of the iceberg, and it leads into a lot of other, you know, management strategies and relationships and emotional tolerances and being able to have proper coping skills. But all in all, you know, these dynamics do lead us into, you know, some mental health components. And whether it's being overly taken care of and then not knowing how to fend for ourselves, or it's overly taking care of someone, and then once that someone becomes an adult and sort of quote unquote flies the nest, you know, that parent A is left with a void of what to do with all the parenting energy, because they themselves may not have made the growth or the shift in having an adult child. Again, no harm, nothing malicious from what I've experienced. At times it could be malicious. But for the most part, you know, this is the dynamic that is gently uncovered through, you know, consistent feedback and consistent work on discovering how these dynamics are really being played out in a family. If any other questions, comments, feedback, feel free to drop me a line, shoot me a text, leave me a note on the app. And of course, thank you all for being here, and thanks for pushing play.